This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
BT, we'll get back to the draft calls in just a second. 888-808-1019. This is exactly what I was telling you. Like, everyone, oh, Devin Williams, oh, he's the best thing ever. He's the best thing. Closers are so volatile. With that being said, I don't think he's toast. I'd be curious to get your take because we texted a little bit about this, but we didn't really discuss it in any detail. Mm-hmm. I don't think Devin Williams is toast, but I just think that this is how bullpens are. They're so fickle and volatile year to year. I don't think you can just look at the numbers and say, oh, the airbender, he's going to be unhittable. He's been anything but. Devin Williams has been ugly here to start.
He hasn't pitched one good game yet. Now, he missed some time, paternity absence, yep. Whatever, but really, since opening day, it's been guys on base and it's been getting out of jams and he looks awful. I didn't love his body language. I watched the post-game show when he was interviewed. I think it was Meredith. And I'm like, is this guy going to be one of these dudes who comes to New York and just gets overwhelmed? I'm not prepared to say that yet. But the one thing that I will say about some of those people, whether it's a Carl Pavano, whether it's a Sonny Gray, generally the evidence presents itself very fast if you're not a New York kind of guy. Now, I won't say that yet because I don't think his stuff is there yet. And his best pitch is a changeup. And when your fastball is 2 or 3 miles per hour, not where it needs to be, which is the case, then the effectiveness of the changeup clearly is diminished. So I'm going to give him a little chance to get going here. But right now, Devin Williams does not look very good. And he did say one thing that I thought was fairly interesting. And I don't know that we really associate this with relief pitchers. Like, if you're a starter, right? And you have a rough outing, mechanically you're out of whack, yeah. You're flying open early, you're just not in sync, whatever it might be, you could do a bullpen because you've got basically almost a week to get yourself straight for your next start. If you're a relief pitcher, and this is what he did say, because of the unpredictable nature of when you're going to pitch again, it's hard to get in the bullpen and throw and try to fix it when you might be pitching that night, so you can't tap into your arsenal at 3:30 in the afternoon with nobody in the stadium, then come out at 10 o'clock and try to get 3 outs and throw 25 pitches at 95 miles an hour, whatever it might be. I think if he has a rough outing this weekend against the Giants, I think he is going to feel the heat immediately.
Well, and that's something that you don't get in Milwaukee.
Yep.
That's where we have the difference. Inevitably, every closer, even the best closers, they will blow some games, they will go through rough spurts, whatever. But when you first get started with the Yankees, and the expectations were that this guy was going to be the best closer in the game and basically unhittable, and now you see this is a Milwaukee. Fans will get on him. I still think he's going to be okay, but I think he's going to be just like any other okay or good closer where, I mean, here's all you need to know. Devin Williams, who was labeled by many as the best closer in all of baseball, got beat by Pete Alonso last year and ruined the Brewers' season. The Brewers did everything that you would want to line them up to advance in the wild card round to move on to the divisional round. They had it lined up. They had a lead in the ninth inning, a big lead at that, with their best closer in baseball on the mound, and he blew it. So if he did that, what makes me think he wouldn't do it again at some point with the Yankees? And that's just something that's unfortunately we have to live with the closers for the most part, because nobody's Mariano Rivera.
Nobody is, but even Mariano got touched up in 97. That was against the then Indians with Alomar down the right field line. Eckersley gave up a bomb where he should have thrown a different pitch, and obviously Gibson took him deep. So, listen, there's a lot of volatility at the back end of every bullpen. Even when Goose got here, I was doing some research. You know, Rich Gossage's transition to Yankee closer was not incredibly smooth, but I do think that now, hopefully he's still this guy, but I never thought it was reckless or irresponsible to say that Devin Williams was different from everybody else. He didn't have one bad year. And you're talking 0.33, 2.50, 1.93, 1.53, 1.25. I mean, it's not like it was like Rodon, you know, Cy Young, then down, then Cy Young. Like, he has been consistently amazing. Now, he's been consistently amazing in Milwaukee, and maybe that's a little bit of it. Again, I think once the velocity gets up, not that he ever throws 100, but it really does minimize the effectiveness of that great pitch, which is a changeup. I just think that Yankee fans, or I know that this isn't directly true, but you know, I even tweeted this having fun, like, you change the hair policy for this stiff. I mean, honestly, 50 years, the guy comes here, he stinks. And like, and I kind of say that, no, I mean, he stunk. I mean that, but I don't think they change it just because of him. But I'm telling you, if he gives up a run or two, I would even go so far as to say Yankees are off tonight, right? Yankees play tomorrow night. I believe that's Stroman's turn. Let's say he does a decent job. Weaver hands Devin Williams the ball, 5-4 Yankees lead. He walks that first guy, even a blue base hit, you're going to hear some murmurs in the crowd immediately. Like, this is what happens. We will give you some grace period, but when you're new and you don't show signs of being the guy that we traded for or signed, you're going to hear it immediately.
But the problem is that could have a negative impact. I think he'll be fine. However, if he does struggle his next outing and the fans start to get on him, now you're dealing with something he's never dealt with before, where you have different expectations in a town that, all due respect to Milwaukee, it's different here. Clearly, it matters here.
Yeah, every town's different from here.
And now you're going to be hearing the negative boos that could turn some players off. The one thing that I would say about you saying you could identify it early on, I thought for sure Diaz was toast in New York. Yep. I never thought he would rebound after what he went through. He did. Now, I still don't trust him, but he did rebound and have one of the best years ever in 2022. Carlos Rodon, after year one, I thought he also was toast.
Mm-hmm.
He's at least...
He was good last year. It wasn't great. He was fine.
He's at least level... Now, I still don't love him as a pitcher.
Well, he's been terrible this year.
I'm not surprised. He's just...
But he was good last year. We talked.
Point is, he's at least serviceable, where a lot of the other guys weren't even serviceable, and you had to run them out of town. So at least he stabilized a little bit in Rodon and Diaz. Those are two examples that I thought initially those guys were both toast in New York.
Yeah, but don't you think you kind of more times than not know right away in New York, whether it's, you know, whether it's the Knicks, whether it's the Rangers, whether it's the Yanks or the Mets? Football's a little different. Because it's obviously here, but I just think it's much more different.
It's not scrutinized. Well,
it is, but it's not like day-to-day. Williams, like, we could talk about, sure, and we have Daniel Jones or Zach, you know, 3, 4, 5 days in a row, but it's about different stuff. Well, generally the same thing, actually.
Quarterback probably the only equivalent. Even Kayvon Thibodeau, who gets some stuff, or you want to get on some of the, you know, Sauce Gardner, it's minimal compared to what the basketball player, the baseball player will get on a day-in, day-out basis.
Well, for sure, because, I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau or whomever misses an assignment, you know, whiffs on a tackle, you know, generally it's within a large portion of big bodies, and it's not like you're on the mound 60 feet, 6 inches away, isolated for all of us to be like, dude, what'd you do there? What happened there? Do you have more faith right now in Diaz or Williams having a big season?
I'm torn with that. I would say that I think the volatility of Diaz is more than Williams. I think Williams has more of a leveled curves, you know what I'm saying? Less of a...
Not as erratic as Edwin Diaz.
Dude, Diaz...
He's all over the map. Dude.
Now, I hated Diaz in 2019.
Yeah.
I love Diaz in 2022. He has not been the same since the Worthless Baseball Classic injury. His velo has not been the same.
It's true.
But even when he gets the job done, I'm going to give you facts now. This is not just a rational sports fan who has hate for Diaz. I don't hate Diaz. Personally, he seems like a nice guy. I don't value pitchers who aren't consistent. Even when he gets the job done, he's all over the place. It drives me up a wall. He's hitting guys. He can't field his position. He can't hold guys on. He's all over the place. He did the stupid, did you see the point yesterday?
Yep.
He gives up a bomb, and he's pointing like it's a pop-up in the infield. That's Bush League, minor league Hansel Robles stuff, dude. You're Edwin Diaz.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, when he's on,
yeah,
he's as nasty a pitcher as there is in the game. The
slider's filthy.
He's unhittable.
Mm.
But I don't trust the volatility of Diaz at all. So I think I'd go more Devin Williams than I would Diaz.
I agree, but I still think I got to see. I mean, not to say that I need to see more out of Devin Williams would imply that I've seen something so far from Devin Williams, which we have not. But no, I don't think that there will be as many crashes, if you will, with Devin Williams like there will be with Diaz. And you said that the velo's down, and you're right. 99.1 was his average fastball in 2023. Then it went down to 97.5. This year it's 96. So those 3 miles.
Now he got, so what you have 2022 numbers?
I got it all. 2022.
Okay. Because I know he, because we just did this on SNY not too long ago. His velo in 2022, which was his best season with the Mets,
was his highest velo, 99.1.
And then he got hurt before the season in 2023.
And then it went down to, well, he didn't pitch in 2023, but then in 2024.
He might have come back for like one game at the end of the year.
I don't think he did. Did he?
I'm not sure.
I don't think he did, Sal. I remember there was talk about it. I don't think Buck, either way.
He was out for the year.
Then he went, basically dropped 2 miles per hour. From pre-WBC, apex velo, 99.1. Next time we saw him, full throttle, 97-point change.
And remember, 2BT, last year there were issues with the sticky stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Got suspended for that. He's
he just
all
makes you nervous, dude.
I'd rather have somebody with less dominant, nasty stuff that I could rely on.
Like John Franco? Although Franco danced a little bit too, Johnny. Johnny put some guys on.
He did, but at least there was a consistency there. It wasn't volatile.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny wouldn't throw strikes necessarily. He's getting hitters to chase, and if they don't chase, they're going to be put on and maybe give up a hit because he's got some hittable stuff. But yeah, I would trust Franco. I'd rather that more than Diaz, who at his best is much more dominant than Franco.
But, so would I.
I mean, the guy can't hold anybody on.
No, that's an embarrassment.
He can't field his position.
Yeah.
And he's all over the strike. His release point's all over the place.
And it's so weird. He's got a lot of moving parts. I mean, every pitcher does, literally. That's what you're doing is you get to deliver the ball. But very herky-jerky, and like I could see why he would get out of sorts and his arm slot. Not that I'm a pitching coach, but I could see why when he's really erratic for a while, and Keith says this, and obviously Ronnie Moore is a former pitcher, like that arm slot, when he misses it, he doesn't miss it by an inch or two, which other major league pitchers will. He misses it by half a foot, which leads to sliders on, you know, a foot outside and fastballs. When he's off, he's bad.
BT and Sal on the fan. Rich is in Springfield, New Jersey. What's up, Rich?
Hey, yeah, I just want to tap in on Devin Williams and the fans, but can I tell you also a quick story regarding Goose Gossage when I met him and spoke to him?
Go ahead, real quick. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I would love to see the Yankee fans get behind Devin Williams. We don't need another Ed Whitson, another Kenny Rogers. And BT, you alluded to that. It'd be great if the Yankee fans would not boo him if he gets a little riled up.
Yeah, I'm not telling them that.
We need a close.
Yeah, I'm not telling them that, Rich. By the way, I'm not telling them to boo. But I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, treat him with kick. You're making $12 million a year. I mean, you got Hall of Fame numbers the last 5 years. It's not my job to tell people, oh, protect, you know, he's a little emotionally unstable right now. Do your job. Figure it out. But that's what we have to do every day. Figure it out.
I agree with you, but don't you think that could do more harm?
Yeah, I mean, it could. But there's also no evidence that kissing his ass and holding his hands is going to do more good.
It worked with Lindor.
It did, and it worked with Trey Turner. I'm not saying it can't work. But, you know, I'm not in the business of just railing on people unfairly. And I'm not saying, like, if I'm at the stadium tomorrow night and he walks a guy and then there's a blue pit, Yanks are up by a run, he's trying to preserve the lead, I'm not saying that I'm going to stand up and boo. Now, I will then react on the radio.
No, and he will get it, though, from the crowd.
And at that point, I would have no issue with it because he's been, listen, it's an incredibly small sample, clearly. But I tweeted, I was kind of kidding, but I wasn't. Pete Alonso may have snatched his soul. Like, there's such a thing, like, you know, when you're a boxer and you take the wrong shot one too many times, you don't recover, whether it's a chin shot or a temple shot. You're done. You're not dead, but you're done as a fighter.
It was like Brad Lidge.
Oh.
When he gave up that bomb to Pujols, which was one of the biggest home runs I've ever seen.
Or even Mark Walters with Jim Leyritz. He was never the same.
Yep.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, the 4-9 hitters 0-20 with 6 whiffs. Which gets us to today's lineup here as they get ready. A little 110 first pitch out in Detroit. Hey, Max Fried, can you stop the bleeding here? Ben Rice, Aaron Judge, Belly. Bellinger's got to get going. Goldschmidt in the four spot. Jazz, who's under 200 now. Volpe, Dominguez, Escobar behind the plate. Cabrera at third, and Max Fried is on the mound in a very jumbled, as I think many of us thought it would be, very jumbled American League East here. Toronto 7-5, Yanks are 6-5, Boston's 500, Orioles a game under. Kind of very quickly, the Yankees went from looking really, really good to looking very, very average fast.
I think their start has been disappointing here.
I agree.
I heard you with Rodon yesterday. I thought you nailed it. You just can't trust the guy. Now, today, Fried's going to have to step up. He is the ace of the staff. They need a stopper right now. Now, go out there and win a game, salvage his final game of the series. But they got issues, man. They look a lot like they did last year when they were at their worst. I'm not saying that they're a bad team yet, but they've got some issues. Their pitching is not as good as it was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And their offense is, look, it could be better as far as the length of the lineup, but it's still way, way too inconsistent and way too many strikeouts. You can't survive on the all or nothing. Everybody wants to go nuts about what they did against the Brewers. Yeah, that's not a reality. How they looked against the Diamondbacks and now the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. So, you don't want to overreact and go nuts. I still think they'll be fine and be a playoff team. But as far as this team being better than it was a year ago, I see a lot of the same. They've been sloppy in the field as well.
That's where I was going.
On the bases.
Yeah, I mean, there's varying versions of they'll be fine. Yeah, I believe they'll be a playoff team. I believe it's going to be close. And I believe this division is going to be close. By the way, I don't know if you noticed this. I just saw this during the break here. Maybe it just happened to be one of those days. But you mentioned Goldschmidt and the Yankees. Or I mentioned Gold. You mentioned the Yankees defense. What in the world is going? Do they practice defense anymore? Everybody. In a 30-second span on John Boy and some other stuff on Sox during the break, I saw Mike Trout overrun a pop-up in right field. It looked like a 10-year-old who's not even good. Lourdes Gurriel airmailed one from left field over the third baseman's head that was supposed to go to the catcher that went to the backstop. And then Goldie bobbling that potential 3-6-3 double play. Some other Yankees, even Vientos at third, has been sloppy. I mean, the defense around baseball...
Yeah.
What's going on? Stop practicing. Stop worrying about launch angle and exit velo and take some ground balls.
I'm with you on that. And the one word of advice that I would say,
Watch the Mets.
Well, no, I'm just kidding. They've had some issues, too.
Watch the Mets. You guys going to play any good team anytime soon? What the hell? Well, we knew that that their schedule was pretty favorable.
We could get more on them in a little bit, but on the defense, you see that catch the kid made in center field yesterday?
Yes. You're sick.
Now, I don't know why he's playing so shallow, but that is a catch you dream of making.
No, there's no doubt.
Anyway, all right.
Yeah, dude, Mets look good. Yeah, honestly, Mets look good.
For them, it's a great start. When they're not even clicking yet. They're pitching well. But the offense isn't even clicking it. Wait till Soto gets going.
It's early.
BT and Sal on the band, 888-808-1019. It's not early for the Knicks. As a matter of fact, one thing before we get back to the calls, BT, that I want to bring up. Well, did you have an issue? Because I did not. With Tibbs not deciding to foul there before Tatum hit the game-tying three?
I didn't love his explanation. I understand. His explanation was, basically, you run the risk of, if the foul is not executed at the proper time, you run the risk of a four-point play. Okay, I mean, how many four-point plays have the Knicks had this year? Larry Johnson, Starks, a couple here and there. But if you're dialed in, and I know that there's an art to, ripping through the foul and getting the call. It's almost too easy to manipulate from an offensive perspective. But I think you've got to have more trust in the IQ of the player to do the foul. But I also believe this, Al. I liken this to being in a casino, right? And I fluctuate on this, even though I haven't been in a casino in a while, right? But when you have a 16 and the dealer has, I don't mean the dealer has a 5 or a 6. Like, whatever you do, do it all the time. If you start like, I'll hit here. I'm good. You're going to be chasing, your tail all night. So generally, whatever your philosophy is when you have a 16 versus a card where you might have to hit, always do it. Whatever your philosophy is, up three with X amount of time to go, always do it.
Right, because he'll miss that shot.
Always do it.
At least half the time, you would think.
Correct.
The only way that I could say it from my perspective, watching the game in real time, it was not a thought in my mind.
Me too.
So I can't then second guess and say, you should have fouled.
Mm-hmm. That's the easy way out.
The guy's a beast. He hit a shot that a mammoth sack would hit. That's what Tatum is. Mammoth sack. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Alex in East Quag. What's up, Alex?
Hey, good morning, guys. Can I make 2 points about Tibbs before Sal cuts me off and yells at me when I'm off the phone?
Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. First of all, you spent your first minute today at 10 o'clock discussing all the different configurations of who you would have had on the floor to give us a better chance at towards the end of the game when it counted, other than what the Knicks had on the floor. Who does that go to? That goes to the coach, okay? I just want to make another point about Tibbs. You're tiptoeing around on him, left and right. What's driving me, another thing that drives me crazy this year is his phrase, his post-game phrase, the game tells you what to do. That's bunk. The best coaches use their strategy to dictate the game to the other team. He's a great assistant coach. He'll never win a title. The Knicks window is closing, as you said, for a couple of reasons. Some players are getting older, this and that, and they don't have their draft picks. He's not the coach. Stop tiptoeing around. Thanks, guys.
He's been consistent. And I'll be honest with
you. What you're saying?
He's called the middays for years, and he has said this for years. And quite frankly, I pushed back pretty aggressively for a while. I thought he was a little bit unfair to Tom Thibodeau. I don't think he's unfair anymore. I share the same opinion. Yeah, I don't think he's a championship coach.
See, to me, he hasn't been a championship coach yet. But I don't think that Andy Reid wasn't a Super Bowl winning head coach until he was. And now all of a sudden he's one of the great head coaches ever. Look at what Tibbs has done with this team. Find the better coach in Knicks history than Tom Thibodeau.
Pat Riley.
Yeah, what he did before he got here.
Ben Gundy. Red Holtzman.
Why? Ben Gundy never won a championship with the Knicks.
Who would you rather have coach in a big game? Jeff Van Gundy or Tom Thibodeau? I'll take Van Gundy.
I think Tibbs is an extension of Van Gundy. And I would argue that Tibbs has done more with less than Jeff Van Gundy. Now, I'm not saying Tibbs is the greatest thing ever. What I'm saying is, do I need to tell Knicks fans? Do I need to remind them the history of the pathetic coaches you've had in here for the last 20 years? I mean, since Van Gundy left? Think about how bad it's been. Now, you're right. That doesn't mean that Tibbs is great. But also look at what Tibbs did. He took a team that was expected to win 15 to 20 games and got them to be the 4 seed with Julius Randle, a player who nobody respected or cared about. Mm. He turned him into a star player. He built this thing up. Maybe there will become a point, whether it's this postseason, whether it's next year, where they feel like they have to fire one more salvo to try to get them over the hump. I think this Knicks team is a product of Tom Thibodeau and his coaching.
So I get that, but I also think there's some circumstances, and not to really weigh it down now, but the Knicks played their asses off during COVID. Was the NBA really dialed in? And I hate to even say that because...
Okay, so, but forget that year, then look at all
the other
ones.
But that's the starting point. That's one of the things that you referenced, so I'm just responding to that.
But they still play
harder. And I've lauded him for that. I think that he is a great culture builder. Like, if Tom Thibodeau was a college coach, he's the kind of guy that could go to a team, like, say, Seton Hall, who's really down. I'm not trying to move Shaheen Holloway. I like Holloway a lot. But, like, you go to a program like that, provided you got NIL money, and, like, within a year or two, you're pretty competitive. And you might be ranked. You might get in the dance. Like, but do you ever get to the Final Four? I don't think so. I just don't think he's that guy. And the other thing, too, is when we say that he's doing more with less, well, I would also disagree with that. Karl Anthony Towns is a top five center. Jaylen Brown is a top five point guard. How much do you need?
Yeah.
I mean, OG Anunoby is a top five wing 3-and-D guy.
Well, let's see what happens. I mean, they won 50 games again with all these guys being hurt. So we'll see. And just to finish up the point about Alex, who was saying that good coaches don't let the game decide what they are, do you think Rick Pitino's a good coach?
He's a great coach.
Okay.
I think he's the best ever in the history of college basketball.
And the final game dictated what? RJ Lewis having to go to the bench.
But not everybody agrees with that. Some people say you should have ridden the guy who got you there.
Okay, but so what? I personally am gonna side with Pitino.
So am I. Just as like, I said the next day.
Okay, just like I'm going to side with Tibbs when he says the game is gonna dictate. You have to understand what he means, that when you're watching the game play out the way it is, certain players have it that night, certain on the other side, on your side, and then dictate who's gonna be on. It can't just be these are my five guys that I'm closing out no matter what.
I know it's not apples to apples, but when I look at Rick Pitino, I know they didn't play well against Calipari. I get that. And you and I had that debate,
yeah,
Calipari,
yeah,
with Rick, whatever. I think every time the St. John's team takes the court, I believe they've got an advantage at head coach. I never think that. I don't want to say I never think that about the Knicks. But like when you're talking about the elite of the elite, I don't feel that with Tom Thibodeau.
Did Pete Alonso break Devin Williams? It's a fair question. It is an absolutely fair. The guy gave up a home. It didn't bother you guys because it wasn't your team. He gave up one of the worst home runs a closer could give up. He's always been great. He has been very iffy to start this season.
Remind me the circumstances.
They're two outs away from going to the...
No. On Alonso.
There's two on and one out with a 2-0 lead. And Devin Williams gave up a 3-run home run to Pete Alonso.
What was the count?
I think it was 3-2. I think it was a full count.
So I don't think that Pete Alonso broke him. I think Devin Williams has always had that issue, is that he sometimes can't find the zone.
But Devin Williams prior to that and prior to this season has been when he's pitched.
Okay, so
his health has been the biggest issue.
Tell me about his pitch count then. So like, you're going to have to go do a dive, and it's probably too short. It's too long of a research to answer.
Yeah.
What's his pitch count been in his closing situations?
Well, usually
by the way, he was fine with one out, two outs.
Fine. He got two outs. Great.
Right. He was one
his
on.
His job's to get three outs.
Two outs. But his pitch count, it went up because he was 3-2 on all those guys.
It went up because he was throwing. By the way, real quick, WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York and Odyssey Sports Station. You are listening to us, Yankee postgame on the AM side. But we'll give you also our version of it because the Yankees did hold on and beat the Tigers 4-3. But clearly, the Devin Williams concern is the biggest thing coming out of this game.
Yeah. So the issue, what we saw with Pete, and we saw it today, and I didn't see his other. He blew one while I was away, didn't he?
He hasn't blown a game yet. He's just been shaky.
He was just shaky.
So yes.
I'm going to assume that one I didn't see was the same as this one and the same one we saw in Pete. He can't get ahead. And when you don't get ahead, you start just leaving balls that guys can hammer.
It was a tie game he lost versus Pittsburgh.
Same. I mean, whatever.
Hold on. Let's be fair about the game he lost. He came in with a runner on second, nobody out, because those are the extra innings.
That's what closers do.
No, I understand.
That's what you're supposed to do.
And it was 3-2 to Tommy Pham with a runner on third base after a stolen base. And instead of walking him, which some Yankee fans wanted, he kept attacking Tommy Pham, finally hit the ball in the air.
Right.
Ball game was over. So he blew the game, quote unquote. It's not exactly an ideal situation with these extra inning rules. This game today, the game we just consumed, if you haven't, we'll describe it to you. Walks the first guy after he gets ahead of him, strikes out the next two guys, then runs into the trouble before Aaron Boone finally takes him out. 4-3 runner on second, two out. This was far and away his worst performance.
Yeah, because he couldn't find the zone. He bounced one and went into the dugout. He's lucky two runs didn't come in on that one. And so I'm going to say it's early season. It's cold as hell. gripping on the ball, so he's overthrowing. And even one of his strikeouts that we were watching earlier, catcher was set up outside, and he yanked it and threw it inside. It still got caught swinging a miss, but he's not finding positioning where he wants to throw the baseball. So that's on him, ultimately.
The question Aaron Boone's going to have to answer in just a few minutes, is Devin Williams still your closer?
Of course he's still the closer.
He doesn't have to be. You could take him out of that. First of all, remember this. Last year, Edwin Diaz lost his closer's role.
Yeah, but Edwin Diaz was coming off of a massive major knee issue, and he hadn't pitched.
No, but he lost it because he wasn't pitching well.
I know, because he was coming off a season that he missed the entire year.
Devin Williams missed half the year with a back issue last year.
Yeah, it's a back. It's different.
Like, Aaron Boone does have the ability to say, hey, we still trust the player. We're going to take him out of that pressurized role till he's right. And once he's right, we will move him back into that role. The question is Aaron Boone going to do that? Or is Aaron Boone going to say no? Now, Aaron Boone can also lie to us. That's happened. And I don't want to use the word lie like it's malicious. But sometimes as a manager, you don't want to give away your strategy. So you'll simply say, no, he's our closer.
He's not going to say anything. It's too early in the season.
Okay.
It's only three appearances this season. I understand. Or this was his fourth.
Would you pull him from the closer's role, Shawnee?
No. I would not yet.
Not yet? Wow.
I would not yet. I'd be truthful. However, I don't know how you sit there and look at that locker room and look at that roster when there's a big core of that group that just saw Luke Weaver have that insane run at the end of last year and has done nothing but dominate now. So all I'm saying is I think the leash is probably shorter than we're giving it credit for, but I can't do it yet.
Not yet. Well, we'll see what Aaron Boone has to say. We'll keep you posted on that. Let's go to Josh in Sheepshead Bay. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So I called a month ago about this. I already, you know, when the last postseason with the Mets. But I'm going to set the scene. I'm at the watch party at Citi Field, and that home run that Alonso hit, you know, I didn't even, you know, how could I realize at the time? But when you get home and then you go on social media, you see all the highlights. Turns out Devin Williams was tipping his pitches.
Right.
That coach gave Pete, I don't even remember who it was. He gave Pete.
Oh, I remember this, actually. No, I remember this, Josh. I remember them saying this.
Right. And so Devin Williams, you know, it's likely that he had to change up his motion, his style, you know, his form in the off season. And so that could be what broke Devin Williams in a way. You know,
It's a good call, Josh.
Could be. No, you're right, because that was. Now, Pete Alonso has denied that. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I didn't know what was coming.
Right.
But there, I think John Boy put together a great video late last year in the postseason in which it showed how Jeremy Barnes identified what was coming, or the tell that Devin Williams was giving off for you to know what was coming. And that certainly could be playing a role here. That could be playing a role here in terms of, and I thought that was well put by him, that he had to change something during the offseason, and that change is negatively affecting him right now.
Right, and he's only had four appearances. He had a little bit of time off because he was on paternity leave for a minute. So his mind hasn't fully been into being excellent because you're evolving. You're changing.
Right.
So it's different. It just got to get better. You can't get into a series like this one that the Yankees were just in where they were dominated, by the Detroit Tigers and then have this chance to close it out comfortably and make everybody sweat.
I would take him out of the closer's role, and I wouldn't do it in some kind of dumping way like, I don't trust him anymore. I think that this is a guy who's new to New York, right? Pitching in Milwaukee is a lot different than pitching in New York City.
Right.
You guys have mentioned it. Luke Weaver was more effective last year. The better reliever is currently on this roster. I think you need to get Devin Williams' confidence back. And I think the best way to do that is in low leverage situations, just for now. I'm not saying it's permanent.
Well, that's what Mendy did for
exactly
Edwin Diaz.
Exactly. And that's why I brought him up earlier. Like, it's not unfounded or crazy to take an elite level closer, which Edwin Diaz was, and certainly Devin Williams was, and say, you know what? We're going to try to fix you. And this is probably the best way to do it.
I wonder, with Devin Williams being a free agent and knowing that they just lost Soto, and I'm not trying to tie the two together, but this is serious. I wonder if they just don't want to piss him off too early with the hopes that they are going to sign him long term. I mean, do you think that plays a role at all?
I mean,
free agency plays a role?
Free agency, but clearly he wants to have a good year as a closer, make a lot of money as a closer. If in April, 2 weeks into the season, the manager is pulling you from your role, even temporarily, does that put a sour seed in your throat?
Yeah, of course it does. Of course it does. I don't think that can factor in. And again, it's early in the season. There's so much time for him to figure himself out, make himself some money in free agency type of thing. So he's not losing his closer role. it's fair game for us to talk about it.
Yeah, I agree.
But he's not losing his closer.
I also think that we live in a new world when it comes to the way closers are paid and the way relievers are paid.
Mm-hmm.
If he lost his job temporarily until his confidence was back, and then he's saving games or not saving games, but he's pitching at an elite level, he's going to get paid.
No,
I don't think we need stats anymore tell us that. So I just don't think it's that big of a deal in terms of how it would impact his contract.
I think he's getting paid no matter what. My question is, from a Yankee point of view, do they feel like they're hurting their chances at him saying, I do want to become a Yankee because of getting benched?
They can't think about that, though. They got to think about what gives them the best chance to win. They almost lost this game today, Sean.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Evan.
And that would have been a disaster.
You get swept by the Tigers? I mean,
I'm with you guys.
Not that the Tigers are bad. I actually picked them to be with the other team that would be good in the American League.
See, to me, it's not even about losing to the Tigers. It would be about losing a 4-0 game in the ninth inning with your best reliever on the mound. That's a game you can't lose.
But a couple things are true from this offseason. Number one, the Yankees finally truly lost the free agent they wanted, albeit completely different financial scale than Devin Williams. And number two, they did change the beard policy, and a lot of people thought Devin Williams was a big reason.
I don't think it was
because
of him.
Okay.
I think it was more. Every single former Yankee grew a beard. Every single one. Gleyber, Severino, every one of them. They all grew beards. So it was just kind of like, what are we doing?
Tiki, I'm going to tell you something that you may not believe, but trust me.
Go ahead.
The New York Yankees on Friday night play the San Francisco Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Why do the Yankees constantly play National League teams? It's a great question. But they're going to play the Giants this weekend, and then they're going to play the Kansas City Royals.
They just played the Tigers. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but all their games prior to that were against National League teams.
Get them out of the way.
15 of their first 18 games are against National League teams.
Is that right? These three were the only three?
Yes!
That's crazy.
Think about it. The Brewers, the Diamondbacks, those National League teams, the Pirates. So your first nine National League teams. Three against Detroit, and now it's going to be three against the Giants. 15 of 18 against National League teams. Devin Williams is right now, fair or not, for a myriad of reasons, going to be public enemy number one if he struggles to Yankee fans. They're going to boo him. And they're going to boo him for a myriad of reasons. Obviously not pitching well is clearly number one. You know what's up there on the list? As stupid as this is, the beard policy.
Why?
I'll tell you why.
Too lax?
I'm going to tell you why.
It's made them less focused on being elite and great?
I'm not defending this. I just want to give you an example. Sean Morash's dad is a good guy. There's nothing wrong with him. He looks at Devin Williams and says, this is why my beard policy is gone.
He hasn't done that yet. But you want?
He's going to.
You want to play a quick game of Posted and Toasted?
Yes.
This tweet 9 minutes ago was sent out by a WFAN staff member.
Sal Licata.
Yankees changed their facial hair policy for this dude?
Carlos Mendoza?
Sal Licata.
Alonso may have broken Williams.
Oh, so it has it's definitely Sal Licata. It's already over.
Wrong.
Well, hold on. It's not Sal Licata. It's not BT. It's not Big Mac. It's a Met fan.
Is that your final answer?
It's got to be a Met. Giannotti?
The correct answer is Brandon Tierney.
That BT wrote that?
So BT's already going to the facial hair.
Wow. Mm. And he's going with the Pete Alonso broke him thing.
I was wrong.
That's an about face on Pete Alonso.
Yeah, jeez.
That bothered me that they lost that game yesterday. Not to the point I'm going to go nuts, obviously. They've got a nice run differential. Number one run differential in baseball. The entire American League East is playing. It's pretty crowded already. Baltimore, I think, is in last place at 4-6. Nobody's going to run away with this thing, as many of us surmised here. The Yankees are an interesting watch here because they're lower third. I mean, some of the guys, they are banging the snot out of the ball in the bottom of the order. They have a nice average, but I got to tell you one thing that I noticed more and more and more, and I like him as a player, all right, but I watched basically all the games over the weekend, and the more Jazz Chisholm's up there in a very important spot,
oof,
I don't feel comfortable. I know the numbers are going to be there. He's going to bang 25 or 30. He's going to steal a ton of bases.
He's not a good hitter, though.
He's not, he is undisciplined and very easy to get out if you just go low and away. He cannot hit that pitch.
He should not be hitting fourth. Eventually, they'll change that. You can't have him up there in that spot. You want these guys. Now, I was feeling the same thing about Jesse Winker over the weekend, saying, man, I'd rather have Vientos up in this spot. Mendy stuck with a lefty. Winker, he comes through with a big hit. So it doesn't mean that we're always going to be right here or that they're always going to be wrong or vice versa. But I'm with you. Jazz is just not a good hitter. He's going to hit power numbers.
Yeah.
He's going to have his moments. He's not a consistent. I hate the ups and downs. And for me, I'm glad you said that the Yankees are, would you say, interesting watch? Or
they're an interesting watch. I mean, it's for me, a little bit of everything every night.
Right. But for me, it was supposed to be that they were going to be a much better watch night in, night out than last year. And I'm seeing a lot of similarities from this team to last year, meaning that it's a lot with the home run. There's a lot of strikeouts. There's a lot of failures in big spots. Mm. Yeah, it's nice to see Grisham get the job done. Volpe defensively. Peraza. I mean,
Cabrera. I get it.
Now, is that sustainable?
You take it.
All right, but you know what I'm saying. In general, it has been the all or nothing. Now, I'm not trying to pick on the Yankees here, but they have played two of the worst teams in the game. The Mets played the awful team. The Marlins stink, too. Baseball, in general, needs to do a better job because these teams just stink. The Pirates, dude.
They're bad.
They are an awful, awful watch. I'm not taking away from the Yankees, and it was nice to see Grisham hammer the ball against lefties, Yankees, lefty on lefty, hitting big home runs, going the other way, whatever. Big base hits, key base hits. So it's not a big deal that they lost the game, but I still feel like the volatility of the Yankees, specifically their lineup, is there, where we thought that was going to be, the curves would be leveled a little bit this year, and they'd be a more sound, fundamentally sound watch. I don't know if I'm not seeing that yet.
They're starting to run more, which is nice, because now it's not all about the home runs, even though they have the second or the most home runs in baseball. I agree and I disagree. Like, I know that they've had some games and some sequences where it's been confounding. Remember, 30 strikeouts over two games there. Last week we touched on that. That's just unacceptable. But they do have a 285 average, and it doesn't seem like they have a 285 average. The more I watch this, but they do. The more I watch this team, obviously Judge is Judge, and I think many of the components have shown that they are either ready to have better years than they did a year ago, you know, like a Volpe, like some of the other younger players here. I think the key to this team is, and he's really yet to get going, is going to be Bellinger. I think if Bellinger is if he's a 280-ish kind of a hitter, 285 would pop, and obviously, you know, some real, you know, early order presence, I think it changes who the Yankees are. If he's a 245, 250, 250 guy, it also changes who they are. So Goldschmidt looks like he's got some juice left in those hands, and that looks to be a decent signing for a year. But, yeah, I mean, they played some bad teams. They've done some great things. They've done some confounding things. I think they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to be great. Yeah, I said that from the start.
I guess the biggest issue to me is just too many strikeouts still. They right now are 22nd in baseball with 89. Now, still, some of the numbers are close. The Cubs have struck out the most times with 100 strikeouts. They've also played 12 games.
Yep.
Yankees have only played 9 games so far. Pirates have 99 strikeouts through 10 games. And again, so I mean, giving you an example, the Mets are 4th with 67 strikeouts through 9 games. Just maybe that's my biggest issue because defensively, I love watching Volpe. I think he's taking a next step this year. Bellinger in the outfield looks great. We like Judge back in right field. Mm-hmm. Goldschmidt at first base.
You know, Jazz can pick it.
Yeah, and there's no Glaber you have to worry about.
Dominguez has not been on skates. I saw a couple balls over the weekend where off a lefty bat, that's going to the line. Like, he got good jumps and good reads. So, I mean, remember the first 3 days of spring training, we're like, there's no way this kid could play left field.
Right.
He's doing well. He's not hitting great. But he's not getting overwhelmed defensively. I thought the Yanks would be a very good defensive team this year, and I think they are.
That's what I'm saying. I guess it's the strikeouts that maybe for me.
Whiffs.
Well, but that makes it look bad when you got guys on and you're not putting the ball in play.
Yep.
Now, they score a ton of runs because of the home runs, sure, but that to me is the same thing that's been going on with this team for a long time.
Well, the thing that I don't do, and because it's you just won't enjoy baseball from a Yankee perspective. Like, for me to sit here and say, well, you know, the Pirates stink, and by the way, they do. And, you know, the Brewers stink. Yeah. And, oh, yeah, by the way, they do. Like, and I said this the other day, like, I'm not just going to hit fast forward and go to October. That to me is not fun. That is, there's too many things that could change during the season. But there are also some early trends, and I said this last week. If they don't have more quality at-bats situationally, they will not win the World Series. It's really that simple.
Well, but maybe it comes down then to beating good teams as well or good pitching. How come they look so different against the teams that have better pitching or are better teams than they do against the bad teams?
The pitching and the bullpen has needed every bit of these runs that they've given them over the first 10 games with the offense being dominant. And right now, again, Carlos Rodon yesterday, another typical Rodon start. I was positive about his first two. I was praising him for his opening day repertoire and how he was throwing breaking balls for strikes and he was pitching. I still will tell you that opening day start from Carlos Rodon was the best pitching performance we have seen from him. He was dealing. He wasn't just throwing. He was pitching. But yesterday was the same crap we always see, where he had good stuff. He had swing and miss stuff. He got 8 strikeouts. And yet the second things start to go against him, he is unable to battle through. And that's what happened in a 6-2 loss to the Tigers yesterday. He gets a terrible call. And to be fair, it was a terrible call. He had a strike 3 on the 9-hitter instead, after walking the 8-hitter. Instead, it's called ball 4. It sets up the inning. He promptly gives up a 3-run home run. 2 innings later, the Yankees battle back. They get a run. They make it 3-1, trying to get back into the game. An error from Oswaldo Cabrera, and you know it's coming around the score. Gives up another 2. 6 innings, 5 earned runs, and you got the manager. I know Marco. He loves playing the clip in the top of the update because he's right. It's a terrible quote from the manager talking about, well, you know, besides that, he was excellent. Yeah, besides that, he was excellent. That should be, and Carlos Rodon ever writes a book. Besides all the runs, I was pretty good, would be the title of it, because it's just the same crap. He's unable to settle down and get out of jams. And all it takes is a bad umpire call. All it takes is an error. All it takes is a swing and bunt that doesn't go foul for a base hit. All it takes is one little thing that sends him in the wrong direction, and he is unable to put his foot in the ground and say this far but no further. He's just incapable of it. And I was pleasantly surprised with his first 2 starts, even the second start, which wasn't good because I thought he didn't have anything, and yet he battled. And it's one thing if it's cold out and you're throwing 91 when he's a 96, 97 mile an hour guy, and his slider had no bite, and he was getting hit around early on in the game and then settled down and found it. Like I applauded him for that start because we haven't seen that from him. If he doesn't have it, he gets absolutely knocked out of the game in the 3rd inning, giving up 8 runs. The idea he was able to battle and give you 6 was, I took as a positive, but led right into another typical Rodon, had good stuff, had swing and miss. He is just incapable of getting out of his own way. And it sets up a pitching matchup later today at 1 o'clock, as both the Mets and the Yankees have been moved to earlier times due to temperature, which, again, I've never heard of this. It's one thing for rain. Rain's in the forecast from 5 o'clock on all night long. All right, let's move it up. But just for temperature, for being cold? I mean, if you haven't heard, Met fans, if you had tickets to the game tonight, you will not be able to go tonight. It's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so figure something out. I do believe they're giving vouchers to anybody who had tickets for tonight's game for another Monday through Thursday game at any point in the season. So at least they're taking care of you a little bit there, and they're not just saying, hey, show up at 4, you're screwed. But I don't know, because it's going to be 30 degrees out. What's it going to be in the afternoon? 37? Great. Some sunshine in 37. We'll see how it goes. But both teams have been moved because of early temperatures. It was snowing in the game on yesterday in Detroit, and it sets up a pitching matchup that the Yankees are destined to win, of course, with Cookie Carrasco versus the reigning Cy Young Award winner, Terry Skubal. So, not a great game, followed up by a very difficult pitching matchup for the Yankees, and they could find themselves, if the offense doesn't get it going, especially against a left-handed pitcher like Skubal, where we could waste that initial 3-game sweep. So, we'll see where we are right now. The Mets can't stop pitching. The Yankees need to start pitching, and both teams are off to fairly good starts to begin their year. 888-808-1019. So we started with the baseball. We'll take calls on the football, the national championship game we talked a little bit about, and of course the Rangers and eventually what is going to be the end of their season, as they had another lackluster performance in yesterday, as they have now found themselves 6 games out of a playoff spot, 6 points rather, I'm sorry, 6 points out of a playoff spot, and no real hope of finding their way back. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stu in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Rodon means Rodon't. Yeah, you're right. The first start was good. Second one, he, like you said, he found it, right? He went and dug in. And now this. That's the last, what, 2 years that we've seen from Rodon? The last 2 years. And why did they... Oh, Big Zoom said something to me that rang a bell. Why couldn't they just pick him up on a 2-year deal instead of giving them 6 years and $100 million?
Because then they also wouldn't have... Because then they wouldn't have him. Like, you know, that's what it took to sign him.
Who needs him?
Well, I mean, now...
Do we need him?
Well, it's easy in hindsight. The guy was pitching to a 2 ER saying they wanted him, and that's what it took to sign him. So, yes, it's ended up being a bad signing and a bad contract.
And he can't pitch in New York. Just like
I guess he's one of the few guys, and thank you for the call, Stu. He's one of the few guys where I feel like that's actually the case. Right, I don't know if it's just New York or if it's the pressure of the Yankees or what's up. Again, I'm holding out hope that he can, because I think he can be a pretty damn good pitcher. And again, over the course of the regular season, he's going to have games like this, and then he's going to have good games. Like he's going to pitch like a 4 ERA, and he's going to win, what did he win, 15 games last year? I mean, he's going to win some games. They need him, and that's what's frustrating about it, is they desperately need him. Until Luis Gil comes back, and there's been some reports of some positive stuff that he's going to begin a throwing program relatively soon, and maybe there's some hope that you are talking about the end of May, early June, which would be nice as opposed to my assumption with any of these injuries I'll see after the All-Star break. So hopefully Luis Gil can come back. You've got Clark Schmidt coming back in the next few weeks, even earlier than that, in the next week or so. The Yankees, I believe, have announced that Ian Hamilton is going to be joining the bullpen in Detroit today, which is a much-needed boost to that element of the team. The bullpen is just, you know, right now, Devin Williams is struggling a little bit in his first three outings. The overreaction from the Yankee fan is nuts. They've got Weaver, and then they've got, like, Tim Hill and Leiter. Like, right now, they need Hamilton back. They need Jonathan Loaisiga back. They need Cousins back. They've had some guys dealing with injuries that they desperately need back. And then the starting rotation clearly needs Clark Schmidt back in the next week because, I mean, you know, Fried's just getting his underway. He kind of found himself at the end of in the second half of that Pittsburgh game, and I have full confidence in him being a really good pitcher. And it's just right now, Carlos Rodon's very important. You got to throw him out there every fifth day, and he's got to give you a better outing. Now, look, to me, I'll give him a break on the second one because I thought he battled a little bit, and they got completely shut down that night, and they weren't beating Gallen and the Diamondbacks, no matter who the pitcher was. He's had a really good start on opening day, and then he had typical crap Rodon yesterday. So we'll see where it goes from here, but he has got to find a way to forget about mistakes, forget about things that work against him, forget about a bad call, forget about an error, and go about getting through jams when guys are on. He's got to make that pitch. He's got to find a little bit more Andy Pettit in him. Like, Andy Pettit would put runners on. He would just get the ground ball in the big spot. You've got to be able to do that. And Carlos Rodon has none of that in him. And that's the fear. The fear is when he's in a jam, he's unable to get out of it.
I think, honestly, you cherry pick the ones that we have enough case study on. Detroit, Cleveland. I wouldn't even put our teams in this mix where more times than not, I got a chance for 30 to 20 degree temperatures in those first 2 weeks of the year. I think those teams specifically, like Tigers, Cleveland, maybe you want to make the case Colorado too. 10-game road trips to start the year. At some point, you have one of those during the season anyway. Don't take these teams home until, I'm talking about like April 12th, 13th, and still then you may get cold weather, but I want to minimize this problem as much as possible. This is absurd. If I was a Detroit Tiger ticket holder, I'd be pissed that the one time the Yankees come to town, whether I want to go or whether I want to resell my tickets, it's freaking 19 degrees with the wind chill and they're all getting moved to the day.
Here's what I would say to them, boo-hoo, because tonight the Mets play the Miami Marlins. Right now in New York City, it's 42 degrees.
Correct.
Tonight's going to be in the mid-30s, and I'm going. I'm not whining like a big baby.
I understand.
I'm going to the game, and I'll bundle up, and I got my long johns, and I got my hand warmers, and I'm good to go. It's a part of life, man.
Evan, just understand that what you're experiencing tonight at Citi Field is balmy compared to the next 3 days in
Detroit. What are you talking about? It's been in the 30s tonight at Citi Field.
Read the wind chill, though. We're talking about tonight in Detroit might get to be 10 degrees.
Fair enough. So your idea is just stick these cold weather teams on the road for a while.
I think that's fair.
I have a better idea.
Or play in Milwaukee in a dome. I mean, what are we doing?
I understand. Have a warm weather schedule. I think they tried that back in 1997. I don't love it, but I understand it, okay? I don't love it because I want some April games. Baseball season's back. I want to see my team play. I don't want them on the road for the entire month. But I have a better idea. And honestly, I think this idea is bulletproof. I just think we need to have an open mind, okay? We just need to open up our minds, and you will realize that this may be my most brilliant idea. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
162 games. We're not cutting any games out. You want to cut out four or five and make it a 154-game season, 156, whatever. But I'm not cutting it down to 120, okay, which I know is Tommy's idea. I'm not doing that. So I'm going to keep the traditionalists happy. We got a full schedule. Playoff, same thing. So I'm not doing anything in terms of how long everything takes.
Okay.
But 2025 is different than 1995. It's different than 1965. We will start the season on May 1st. We will end the season in November. Like, it stays warm deep into October. The regular season will end at the end of October. The playoffs will take place in November.
And the
World Series will now compete with Thanksgiving football.
I hate that.
Why? Think about this. And this is the part where you have to get past the shock. And you're going to think and say, Evan's kind of right. October and November are balmy.
Dude.
It's not that bad.
I'm not wrong, though. Have you been in Cleveland in mid to late November?
It's not as bad as this.
Have you been to Detroit?
Did you watch the ALCS?
April 7th is worse than November 7th.
Not always. Not always.
Well, no, look, you can't guarantee the weather. I understand that.
I don't want to be worried about what's
going on. Give your real opinion because he's about to do it. I got to it. Go ahead. Tell me your real opinion.
Thanksgiving, I already got football.
Football. Football's going to distract me.
Now on Thanksgiving Eve, I got to worry about an ALCS game, too.
There you go. That's what this was about.
No, but it's true. It's just too much. October's perfect. The college football, the NFL, the baseball.
You don't want baseball getting in the way. By the way, that's a totally fine opinion to have.
No, because
but
you know
that's what this
Evan,
is about. There's not a weather argument.
No.
This is a...
No.
I can't deal with it.
It's also not good for baseball from this standpoint. Whether you like this or not, the truth about Major League Baseball outside of New York, where we love our Yankees and Mets, is a lot of times those important games in September, America checks out even of their own teams, especially on nights they can watch an NFL football game. So now you're telling me you want 2 months of Major League Baseball season having that mindset where people, I don't care about baseball in September and October.
They'll get bigger crowds. I guarantee it. It's tough to go to a game in early April when it's cold out. The weather tends to be better in October.
Returns, September, October, they're going to pack these stadiums for regular season games?
Is school out right now? Am I missing something?
No.
I got you. Don't bring up school.
But people stop going again in September, so they're going to stop going again in September, October.
It's April! There's school going on now anyway. That has no impact on it. It's about the weather. Like
the school in May, and they fill up, no problem.
Because
the weather's better.
Sean, I didn't bring up school. You brought up school.
I know, because I'm giving you now, September's a good weather month, and kids don't go because of school, so I would rather only keep it like that.
Sean. You're cutting out April, and you're feeding October. There is school in both of those months. It doesn't matter. School has no impact on this. It's the weather. And I would tell you, I don't have the data to back it up, but I'm sure it exists.
I think you get more fans in April weekends than you will October weekends.
October weather is better than April weather.
I'm talking about attendance. So forget the weeknight, even the weekends. People are going to check out on October weekends for regular season baseball.
So is your argument that football is going to drown it out, or is your argument school? What is the real reason why it's a bad idea?
Why can't the argument be a couple pieces of the pie on why I think it's a bad idea? It doesn't have to be one thing. I think all of those reasons make it a bad idea. I don't even think you need to limit it. I think it's fine. I think you just work with the parameters of what you work with.
I want to go through, because you brought
up... weather games in early April.
I'm going to prove my point and bring this all full circle. So at the top of the show, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. I do think the Odyssey app is working with the Yankees on the AM side and us on the FM side. It's working. It's functioning. Right, Rami? It's functioning to some degree, right?
Kind of.
Kind of.
Functioning.
Hey, it's something. Kind of. At the beginning of the show, we talked about how it was a perfect Met weekend. And one of the reasons it was perfect is because the attendance was so good this
week. Correct.
So last year, the Mets had a terrible attendance season until September. Until they played that series against the Philadelphia Phillies, which started on a Thursday night. They had a big crowd that night. The Jets were home that night for their home opener against the Patriots. I was at MetLife Stadium. Yet Citi Field was packed to the brim. Sunday afternoon, or Sunday night, I should say, football Sunday, Citi Field was packed. It was packed because, A, the weather was nice. They were in a pennant race.
Right,
the
cool.
Phillies were in town.
Now if do that eight was, weekends of that instead of four.
If the team's in a race, people will show up. It's about weather, bro. It's all about weather. And the weather sucks in April. It's better in October. And I think the problem that people have is that they can't get past what they already know. So what we already know is it's April to October. You can't have baseball in November. I get it. Well, the world has changed.
The weather is still cold in November.
No, it's different, bro. November's warmer than it used to be. No, April's colder. But, I can't figure out why. But, let's not have an argument over it.
Because the other thing about April is people are dying to get outside, and they're willing to bite it a little bit on some weather.
But they won't do it in October?
October, November, people are ready to head back inside.
Yeah, but those games matter more. It'll be easier to draw people to the ballpark.
I think you're thinking about it too much from a New York perspective.
I think you're being too selfish with your football.
No, I'm not.
You're saying because you won't care about the baseball in October and it's too much
not
for
me.
You.
Me, I'm going to watch the Yankees. I'm talking about America.
I'm citing to you that when the Mets played the Phillies in late September, it was still raucous. It didn't matter that they were competing with a Jet Patriot game or football games over the weekend. If the games are appealing and the games matter and the weather's nice, there are enough people in New York and around the country that they're going to go.
All right,
do you agree with my idea, Tommy? He usually disagrees with everything I say.
I agree with your idea.
Thank you, Tommy. I appreciate it.
But I also disagree with the idea. Because I would just...
Is this just going back to your idea of playing less games?
Yeah.
Loogie! I know, but I wasn't asking about that. I was asking if you like my idea.
I love your idea, Evan. You look handsome today, too, by the way.
All right. And you want to cut 2 months out of the season,
not
right,
two
Tommy?
Months, but if we cut, like, I don't know, when we start in mid-April and you cut 10 baseball games, then everybody's
But think about in September or October, how many baseball markets feel like they're dead and out of it? Like, let's just say Kansas City's having a bad year. They're not going to give a damn for those 2 months and show up while the Chiefs are playing. In New York, we care. You have to take it out of the fish lens of New York.
I think as long as your teams are competitive, you care. Look at the crowds in Detroit right now. The Tigers are coming off a wonderful season. They're playing the New York Yankees. Yeah. But because the weather is so bad, nobody's in the building.
Yeah, because they should be playing in Toronto at the Rogers Center today. That's why.
But if they were playing in the middle of October, a regular season game against the Yankees, the place would be packed. I just want to counter your point, Tommy, because I don't want to make it emotional about me not wanting less games. That's irrelevant. The reason why your idea is dead upon arrival is that it's like asking the NBA to cut the regular season. We all kind of agree that it makes sense. It doesn't make business sense. And so you're never going to give up money. So that's my reasoning on why I get it. I understand it. I vehemently disagree with you, but it's not even about me. Okay. It's just about the fact that business doesn't make sense.
Then same amount of games, start later, more doubleheaders.
See, now you're speaking my language.
I don't want that.
And then you find out the business, you want to charge people not one single admission. You want to be...
Yeah, you got
to
do...
The NFL are pigs, so baseball could be pigs about it.
Until, of course, those days get rained out. Now you're worried about making up two games.
The problem with the split admission doubleheader idea, which is a really good one, by the way, I've talked about this before, that you can condense the schedule a little bit, is that the players won't go for it. The players want their off days. They don't want to play 162 games in 162 days with games played on multiple days and a bunch of off days. Like, you got to get everything approved by the union. Union would kill that upon arrival. But moral of the story is Tommy agrees with my idea.
Sorry. No, and I agree with you that the weather in October is way better than the weather in April. But, Sean, I don't know if you hammered this point home. America is watching football on Saturday and Sundays in the fall.
Doesn't matter. It's a localized sport. You're talking about getting people to the ballpark.
Okay.
And like I cited the Mets Phillies.
But even
Phillies.
The New Yorker, isn't he watching Alabama at 3 o'clock?
I got to repeat the story because I don't think he heard it.
No.
The Mets' best attendance last year was a weekend against the Phillies in September.
Oh, but that was a little bit different, though.
Why?
That was really Met fans taking it on themselves to keep the Philly fan out. You know that. They were looking to invade because they were going to clinch the division.
And the amount of major league teams that are going to be in that scenario, Evan, are so minimalized compared to how many teams exist in
And what's the crowd today in the middle of April in Detroit right now where they love their
so
Lions?
We're picking the most drastic.
No, I'm telling you that you'll do better in October than you'll do in April.
It's snowing at the game, Evan. Okay. Of course there's 9 people there.
Well, that's my point. That's what I'm saying. And you keep bringing up other things like, well, football. There's enough people where even if there are other interests going on, if the weather's nice and the product's compelling.
Stop pretending October, November has become Aruba around
it's
here,
too. It's better than April. Geez.
It's better than April, Sean. April weather stinks.
Thank you.
April showers bring May flowers.
It took us like 16 minutes of arguing to come back to my initial point, which is just simple.
All right, so what we learned here
is the weather's better.
What we learned here is my idea is still the best. Keep the schedule,
but just
put the first 2 weeks in the warm weather in dome stadiums. That's
Now, we all know Evan is a shill for Rob Manfred, so you need to get Robbie on the phone and pitch this to him.
Oh, Rob hates me.
Set up a lunch.
Trust me, it's the
Excuse
opposite.
Me?
I've gotten, they're not fond of me.
I thought somebody the other day called you a shill, a puppet.
Oh, no. That was said by JR in Somerville.
Yes.
Doesn't mean it's real.
Oh, it's not accurate.
No.
Oh, I was under the impression you are now a puppet for Manfred.
And Rob Manfred looks at the schedule and calls it just a piece of paper.
That's right.
We're going to see if we can get through a whole show without mentioning the terms little brother or big brother. Let's see if we could try it. Because both teams have gotten off to good starts. 6-3 for both teams. Both teams have done it exactly the same way. Won a series, lost a series, swept a series. as the Yankees were unable to finish the sweep against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Had every opportunity late in the game, couldn't get it done. And then Devin Williams gives up the final run. And people are like, it's amazing to me. I can't tell you how many people have hit me up complaining about Devin Williams. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. He's made three appearances. Three. The season is nine games in. He's made three appearances and was on paternity leave for 4 days. He hasn't blown a save yet. He hasn't blown a save yet. And he lost the game in extra innings. Like, again, the runner starts on second. That's probably an out on that fly ball if the runner doesn't move to third on the stolen base, which he's got to do a better job of making sure he doesn't give up a stolen base there. But, like, this is one of the – people are acting like he's already – it's a problem for him in New York. Like, it's three games in. This guy entered the year with a 1.83 career ERA. He is one of the best relievers in all of baseball and has been for multiple years. Like, can we give it a minute? The reaction from the fan base about Devin Williams is it's driving me bonkers. And this is like, I'll probably go over the top defending him because he hasn't been good so far. He had a shaky first outing. He did manage to figure it out and get the save. And he hasn't been particularly good. This one, I'm not going to kill him for. Give him a fly ball. Like, it's not like he got hit around. It's not like he gave up a double, a single. Like, he gave up a fly ball with a runner starting at second base. And we're already, oh, this guy stinks. Oh, let's put Weaver as the closer. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's put Weaver as the closer. Let's trade for a world-class closer. Three games in, let's change that role on him. And tell him, listen, it's been you haven't blown a save yet, I know. But it's been a shaky three appearances in between you having a baby, being changed to a new team, pitching in the American League for the first time. No, it's been a solid three outings. So I feel like I've got a good read on you. And you're not going to cut it here in New York. So we're going to move you to the seventh and eighth inning kind of guy. What are we talking about? Devin Williams will be fine. He's going to be a huge part of this team. He is a massive upgrade. And I love Clay Holmes. I defended Clay Holmes left and right. He is a massive upgrade to almost any reliever, unless he was going to Cleveland. And I know Class A has had his moments in the postseason too, and everyone remembers Devin Williams giving up the home run to Pete Alonso. But unless he was getting traded to Cleveland, he was an upgrade on every other team's closer in all of baseball. And they got him for Nestor Cortez, who gave the Yankees a win by throwing fastballs down the middle and is now on the injured list. Like, it was a tremendous trade. He is a great pitcher. If you want to go over people who have come to the New York Yankees and struggled within the beginning parts of their first year, I can make you a list. It's a long one. And it's got some names on it that you love, like Tino Martinez. Can you give it a second? Now, the other part of this bullpen, as the Yankees made some news by bringing back Adam Ottavino for a second run in the matter of as many days, and sent down Hedrick, who pitched a couple innings in this game yesterday. Like, yeah, Yarbrough, like, they're still waiting on guys. We got some good news on Jonathan Loaisiga, who should be back by the end of May, early June. And he's a pivotal part of this. They're still yet to see Ian Hamilton, who's a pivotal part of this. Like, the bullpen is still dealing with injuries. Efros, I guess, had a setback in his hamstring. I don't know if we're ever going to see that guy again. But they're still waiting on some pieces to come back to the back end of the bullpen. It hasn't been great so far, totally agree. The pitching staff as a whole has not been great for the New York Yankees. And it's kind of like the Mets right now, the lineup hasn't been there when you expect it to be. The pitching staff hasn't been there when you expect the back end of the bullpen to be really dynamic. But they're getting answers in other places where you weren't sure you were going to get it from, and it's led to a good start for both teams. The Yankees are in first place. The Mets trail the Phillies, but are 6-3 and pitching as well as any team in baseball. 888-808-1019. We'll get to all of it.